Yeah, I don't know. If they're related, it's a very, very distant thing. See, this leaf was in the 1500s, Eric would have been in the 1900s.
Cozy is like great, 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 great grandchild.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's possible.
Yeah. Let's check it out. Let's go back on that Google.
Let's go back on Google options, right? More options. We'll go down to the timeline feature. We should be able to find it. Okay. Section 3 is entitled Identity Formation. Okay. Again, we're looking at the adolescent years. Depending on your interpretation or the textual definition, adolescence could be, you know, early teens all the way up through about 25 or so. It has a lot to do with the ages kind of in between. As you become a teen, moving up through kind of puberty and maturation, and then going up to the point of taking on different responsibilities, of providing for others, providing for family members, and stuff like that. Once you kind of take on those responsibilities, we typically move you into adulthood. A large part of the quote-unquote adolescent years, according to psychologists, is the process of identity formation. So we're going to look at breaking down identity formation in adolescence. According to Erickson, one of the primary, he's a big name out there in educational psychology, he looks at the primary task of adolescence as forming identity. That's one of the main things that you're going through is you're establishing who you are, learning what you stand for, who you are, what you believe, what your goals are, etc. Makes your life a lot easier. And typically, it's going to boost your self-esteem when you get to that point where you feel like you're secure in who you are, you know where you want to go. And the purpose of having an identity is so that you can be directed, basically. Because the identity is going to revolve around what you choose to do with your life, where you choose to go with it, what you believe, and how that's going to affect you as you move forward in the choices that you make. So really, it's going to play a role into how you feel about yourself and how much your life makes sense to you, if that makes any sense at all. Looking at how Erickson described identity development, his interpretation that identity development revolved primarily around choosing a commitment to a particular role or occupation. Now, Erickson is a male, so that there might be a little bit of bias in there in his theory. There might be a little bit of a male gist or trend to it, but for the most part, it's played a big role in psychology, so we're not going to worry too much about the bias at this point. What we find is that adolescents might experiment with different values, beliefs, or roles as they move along. I worked with a lady who was an educational assistant that always used to say, I was working with kids that were having a very difficult time, and she would always say that, you know, being a teenager is a process of trying on different identities, and when a kid was acting up, she'd be like, well, you know, you don't have to keep this one, right? I know you're trying on an identity right now. You can always change it tomorrow. You can move to another one. So it's the idea that as you go through these years, you're trying on different, you know, value systems. You're trying on different roles in life, different directions. You're moving. You're trying to figure out what it is that you want to do in the future, who you want to be, you know, what you want to dress like, what kind of friends do you want to have. All these different choices that you're making are establishing your identity. Okay, and obviously, as you go through these years, you have to kind of try out different things to figure out what works for you. We don't necessarily just innately know. We often have to go through a process of trial and error with identity formation. And a lot of times, people, as they go along, I would say just about everybody, is going to at some point come to a stage that we call identity crisis. And this is what most people will look at. They'll probably look back at a point in their life, and they'll call it their identity crisis. It's a turning point. It's when you sit back and you examine your values, and you make a large change or a big decision about where you're going to go with your life. And I think for a lot of people, this happens. Well, today, I think it's been pushed back a little bit, but when you get out of college, For most of you that are planning on going on to college, your life is kind of planned out right now. You kind of know what you need to do for the next couple of years. You're going to be going to high school. You're going to graduate from high school. Most of you probably know that you're going to go to either a 2 or 4 year college. So you kind of have the next, 4 or 6 years mapped out. There's really not a whole lot of choices with that. You have all these daily choices in terms of who your friends are going to be and things like that. But as far as your overall life direction, that's kind of mapped out for you. But when you get out, there's a real process. And I know for me in particular, it was a very interesting process. I went to St. John's University outside of St. Cloud. I've told you guys that. I graduated in 2004, and I moved to the Twin Cities, and I moved in with a couple of roommates. And right out of college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I graduated with a history major. I wasn't really competent in anything yet. Didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I took a job as a carpenter that summer. I was working in the Twin Cities. I took a job as a carpenter. A grueling, very hard job. I wasn't very skilled, so I kind of got all the grunt labor. And I was working in the heat of the summer in the Twin Cities, about 50, 55, 60-hour weeks, driving across the Twin Cities over to the eastern side, commuting an hour and a half, sometimes almost 2 hours a day. So add that up, like 13-hour days. And I remember thinking, I went to a liberal arts college. A private college. Got a very good education, but I came out of it, again, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And if you don't know what you want to do, you're probably not going to be very competent in anything, because most things today, they at least require a college degree, if not some kind of certification. Like for teaching, you need not only a college degree, but a teaching certificate as well. You often need to have some additional training. When you don't know what you want to do, you end up getting put into different jobs that probably don't work that well for you. So I think it probably took me through that summer to figure out, wow, this is the real world now. 55, 60 hours a week, you go from being a senior in college and going to class twice a day for about an hour and a half a pop, okay, to working 60 hours a week in the sun, very physical, backbreaking labor. And then I was like, what is going on right now? Was pretty much my reaction. In addition, you lose your social network. Like, for 4 years, I went through college, and you build up all these friends. And then everybody disperses. Everybody goes different places. Some people move to the East Coast, and some people move back home with their parents because they didn't have any money and they didn't have a job yet. And some people move to the cities. But all those friends that have been your world for 4 years and have been a huge part of your world, all of a sudden they were gone. And I moved back in with a couple people that I knew from high school, one person that I didn't really know at all. And your world was just totally shifted. So that was kind of my identity crisis, saying, my life has just changed hugely here, now what am I going to do? And I decided to go back to school and become a teacher. But that was a very interesting year or so, figuring out exactly what I wanted to do. Again, looking at this identity development process, the psychologist Marcia, I think his first name was James, right? Does anybody know out of the book?
James
Marcia. Okay, he found 4 different categories of adolescent, what he called identity status or reaction patterns and processes. And he said that adolescents would move in and out of these categories throughout their growing years. The 4 categories were identity moratorium, identity foreclosure, diffusion, and achievement. I want to look at each of these quickly. Identity moratorium meant that teens were delaying making decisions about important questions. So, for example, you might be putting off a decision about where to go to college. If you're in college, you might be putting off a decision of what your major is going to be, kind of taking some different courses, exploring different things. Say you graduated from college, you might put off a career path. You might be kind of like me coming out of college where you say, I don't know what I want to do, but I need to support myself, so I'm going to take a job. I know that I don't want to be a carpenter for the next 30 years, but I'm going to take a job, and I'm just going to kind of delay that choice or that, making that decision at this point. So that's what Marcia called identity moratorium, putting off those big decisions. Another status that he said that you could be in as an adolescent was to go ahead and make commitments about who you were and what you were going to be. But you were going to do it based on other people's suggestions, not your own choices. So you go ahead and you say, I'm going to be this, I'm going to go here, I'm going to do this, this is who I am. But you're doing it based on somebody else's opinions. Okay. For example, you might say, well, you know, my dad really wants me to be a doctor. Therefore, now at this point, I went to college, I enrolled, I went into a pre-med program, I'm on my way to becoming a doctor. I don't really know if I actually want to become a doctor or not. I don't know if I like medicine, whatever, but I'm on this track and that's who I am right now. I am pre-med, I'm going to be a doctor. It's a big commitment, okay? This is what he called identity foreclosure. Somebody else has made that decision for you. Your influence. And typically, you know, this is going to happen a lot with either peers kind of, you know, pushing you in a direction or parents. Very typical. So those are the first two categories that he would put you in. And again, you can move in and out kind of depending on the decisions that you're making at that point in time. Another one was what he called identity diffusion. This is someone who's constantly searching for meaning and identity, and they haven't yet committed to one of them. Okay. This is basically a continuation of identity moratorium, where it's somebody that's searching, hasn't made a decision, they're putting off making the decision on career goals. But what makes this a little bit different, identity diffusion, is it's somebody who has been in that stage for quite a while now. They've been putting off making that career path for quite a while, and it's kind of a condition at this point, that they're continually not really directed or going much of anywhere. And then the last status that he declared was the identity achievement. And this is where somebody's explored alternatives and made their own choice about their identity, the course of their life, or their future goals. An example of this, again, might be, okay, I've had four different jobs. Okay, this isn't talking about me, but this is just kind of in general. You've had four jobs, you disliked the first three, you tried them all out, they didn't work for you, you didn't like them. But that fourth job, man, that really worked. So now, the fourth job was working as, I don't know, an intern at a hospital, and now you say, okay, I really like that, I'm going to go back and I'm going to get my nursing degree. Okay. That's going through all these different, exploring the different alternatives, figuring out what works for you, and then making your own choice. He called that identity achievement because you've made that decision for yourself. You've explored the alternatives and you've made the decision for yourself. And holy cow, we're out of time already. Okay, so I'm going to stop there. I think we only missed like one slide anyway. So that's not too bad. I'll just leave that slide up there for a second. But we have two more minutes and then we have to go. Like I said, tomorrow you won't be coming here. Thursday we'll have a full class period starting at 12:15. Remember, obviously because we have a shortened time, remember to try to keep up on your study guide so you don't get pushed to the end. Okay? You still have to be kind of chipping away at that.